Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everyone. Thank you all for joining us on this Friday, fourth Friday of the month of February, which is already almost over. We just want to say thank you for taking the time out to tune in with us on Blog Talk Radio, as well as we will be tuning up on Facebook Live in a moment. We're just happy to be here one more again to just say, God, we thank you. We trust you. We honor you. We glorify you. We believe you. We give you the praise. We give you every honor that's due to you, oh God. God, we just want to say thank you, thank you, thank you. On tonight, our speaker will be Prophet Antoine Thomas. So for all of you all that have tuned in for this session, for this service, for this bona fide, absolute, wonderful night of ministry, I want to say to you all, please get your Bibles, your pens, papers, pencils, and pads, and get ready to be blessed by this man of God. God has something down on the inside of him that he has been ordained, anointed, and he has been put in place to release it on tonight. So while you're doing that, getting ready, I want to say to you all, don't forget, this ministry is worldwide. This ministry is Smile 3E, Iron Sharpening Iron, and it's presented to you every Sunday morning, every Monday evening, and every Friday night of every month. So with that being, put on your posters, put a little postie sticker up to let everyone know that Smile 3E is moving forward with what God has for Smile 3E and all of his guests, his ministers, and its members for the month that's coming in the year. God is doing an awesome thing. So if you all would just join in prayer with me right now, we would just come together and just give God his our undivided attention so that we can get his undivided attention. Okay? Now let's just go on and join the hands in the spirit and just do what we need to do. Father God, we come to you on this evening, God. Whatever it is that we have on the altar, oh God, whatever loved ones, even ourselves that we have on the altar, oh God, we're trusting you, God, to see us through. We're trusting you to give us strength, God. We're trusting you to move on our behalf, oh God. We're trusting you to just keep covering our families, oh God. God, we're trusting you that you will hear our prayer and our request on tonight when we ask you, God, to forgive us of every sin of omission, of every sin of commission, every sin we're not even aware that we've done. It's not no little sin. It's not no big sin. Sin is sin. So whatever sin, God, we've done, we're asking you to forgive us for right now, God. We're asking you to cover our loved ones. We're asking you to cover our homes. We're asking you to cover our finances, our jobs. Oh, God, we're just asking you to be God in our life. I need to just make sure I got myself on the altar before you, oh, Lord. I just need to know that we are just in a place where we know that we can come to you and just ask you for those things and just give us the patience to just wait on you, oh God. Give us the time and the knowledge to just know that no matter what, God, you are our answer. No matter what, God, you are our Savior. God, teach us how to pray in the place that we need to pray. Teach us how to pray to say, God, you are our tower. You are our safe place. God, you are our provider. You are our stronghold. God, you are our help. You are our battle. You are our redeemer. God, hide us in your secret place. Hide us under your feathers, oh God. Teach us how to just come to you, oh God, with an open heart, open hands as we open our mouth and pour out every hurt, every pain, every misunderstanding, God, because we know you are our understanding. You are our wisdom, God. For God, you are everything that we are. You are everything that we need. God, we know that without you, we cannot do anything. We know that without you, nothing is possible. God, we know that you are everything that we need. God, we just keep our families on the altar before you, God. We keep it, everything that we have, up before you, our job, our finances. God, teach us how to walk. Teach us how to talk. Teach us how to think like you think, God. Teach us how to see things the way you see, God. Teach us how to love the way you love, God. God, we just want to just say to you on tonight, we are not in a place where we need to be, but God, we are in a place that we should be, and that's in your presence right now, oh God. For God, we are listening on tonight for further instructions for this walk with you, oh Christ. We're listening on tonight for further instructions of how to be more like you, oh God, to let us decrease that you may increase, God. We're listening on tonight, God, to hear what you have to say to the body of Christ. God, teach us how to retain your word. Teach us how to hold on to your word. Teach us how to desire your word even the more. God, teach us how not to embarrass you in the body of Christ, in the land of the living. God, teach us how to stop taking your gifts, stop taking your love, stop taking your words and turn them into filthiness, God. God, teach us how to keep your word, your house. Keep your body, our temples, holy unto you, O God. For God, you are not an author of confusion, God. Teach us how to stop trying to prove to someone that you kind of said something. God, teach us how to speak it out. Spare not to say what your words say and stand on what your words say. For you are not an author of confusion. You are Alpha and Omega. God, you said it, it is so. You are not something like a God. You are the one and only God. And God, teach us how to trust in you even the more. Teach us how to trust in you even after there's nothing else to do. Teach us how to trust in you when we have nothing else to say, but we just know that we can trust you and make a way out of no way. God, teach us how to stay focused. Teach us how to stand on your foundation. Teach us, oh Lord. For God, when nothing else can be said, when we don't know what to say, God, all we know is we could just say, Jesus, the blood of Jesus, cover our minds, our soul, our hearts, cover our mouth, cover our ears, cover everything about us with your blood, Jesus. For God, we know that you are truth, you are love, you are our all in all. Teach us, God, teach us. Teach us, oh God. God, let every man and woman of God, you have called to your leadership. You have called to the front line, God. Let them line up with your word. Let them line up with your word. It's time out for playing. It's time out for pretending. It's time out for lack of. But God, let us be in your word, standing in your place, doing what you told us to do for your purpose. God, cover America from the east to the west, the north and the south, even in the center. God, cover America. God, it's time. It's time. It's time. We need to pray. It's time for the church to step into the real revival of Christ. God, we trust you. We honor you. And most of all, God, teach us how to obey you. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, and amen. Prophet Thomas, are you on the line?
Yes, ma'am, I am on the line.
I'm going to turn it over to you so that you can do what God has told you to do on tonight and have your way.
Awesome. Listen, thank you for coming on tonight. Thank you for logging in. We are also on Facebook Live. And so if you're on there, say hello while you're coming in. Say hello to me. Let me know that you're on there. Let me know that you're hanging with us today. Come on in. We're going to give it a few minutes. Awesome. It'll be long tonight, I promise. I promise. You got me the first butt for that tonight. Okay. All right. While you're waiting, get your Bibles and let's go. While we're waiting, just for people to come out, Judges chapter 16. Judges chapter 16, verse number 24 is what we're going to start in. All right. Father, we can give you praise and we give you honor now, Father, for what your word will say to us tonight. Let it be a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. In the name of Jesus, let your will be done, everything that we say and everything that we do. Father, for your glory, God. In Jesus' name, we give you praise, honor, and glory. And the first glory in your sight, and the glory shall be done. In Jesus' name, we pray. Amen. All right, y'all, real quickly. Judges chapter 16, verse number 24. And it says, let's jump down to verse number 28 for the sake of time. And Samson called unto the Lord and said, O Lord God, remember me. I pray thee and strengthen me. I pray thee only this once, O God, that I may be once avenged of the Philistines from my two eyes. And Samson took hold of two middle pillars upon which the house stood, and on which it was born, of the one with his right hand, and the other with his left hand. And Samson said, let me die with the Philistines. And he bowed himself with all his might, and the house fell upon the lords and all of the people that were therein. So the dead which he slew at his death were more than they that slew his life. And so tonight I want to talk about grab something and lean. Grab something and lean. The word of the Lord is already blessed. I want to just take a few moments and jump back. I didn't read all of it. But if you read the story of Samson's mother, the word came to her, you are having a Nazarite, in which you cannot just do and say and go and indulge in whatever you want to indulge in. And so tonight, I want to tell somebody, you're pregnant with purpose, and therefore you cannot do everything that you want to do. It doesn't matter what anybody else is doing, what anybody else is saying, what they are deeming as okay, you can't do it. Some things may not be sin for some people, but it may be sin for you. And so if that is sin for you, you can't do it. It's just that simple. All right? So the Lord tells her, a word of the Lord comes to her, watch what you do, watch where you go, and watch who you hang with. And even staying there for a second, some of us have to learn that we can't hang around with everybody. It can't happen. And then you also have to learn that sometimes there are people who you are hanging with now that eventually you may have to let go. And you cannot develop an ungodly obligation to things that God only puts in your life for a season. See, sometimes we want to we want to hang on to people for a very long time because, you know, we have a sense of loyalty to what they did and what they said and who they are and how long we've known them. Forgive me, I've been up for a while. But that is not what God was saying for us. That is not at all on what God was saying for us concerning our lives. We have to know when to ask God to lead and to guide us. Bless you, Evangelist McCoy. God, lead us and guide us on when to let go. So we want God to lead us to certain things for us to grab, but we also have to ask God to lead us to know when to let things go. Sometimes we hold on to things way past our season, and they become a cancer in our lives. So we have to learn to say, okay, God, teach me when to let go and teach me how to let go so that I ensure that I'm constantly in your divine will and not just in your permissive will. Can I teach tonight? Some of us, if y'all know me, the last couple of Fridays, you know, I did a little hollering. I want to talk tonight because I want us to understand that in what we do and how we fight matters. It very much so matters. Sometimes we're so busy complaining that we forget that while we're going through it, we're fighting. And we have an attitude of desperation. We have an attitude of feeling abandoned or mistreated. And God is saying, listen, you're going through this because I trusted you. I want to trust you. I want to be able to trust you in everything that I say, everything that I give you, everything that I see in your way. He said, have you considered my servant Job? Is what he asked him. So God offered Job up. As a matter of fact, offered him up in two different chapters. But you got to know and understand that in those things, because God can trust him. Y'all forgive me again for the yawning. I've pretty much been up since yesterday, for the most part. So, needless to say, I'm saying that there was a challenge to being chiseled. There's a challenge to being chiseled. You're not going to be chiseled, and then God, it happened a nice way. That's an actual hammer. That's an actual file, a sharp file that they're using to sculpt and to shape and to chip. You think about being chiseled within your natural body. When you first start exercising, yeah, it hurt a little bit because you're using muscles that you did not once use at one particular time. But then it even more so becomes tight and hurting when those muscles begin to tighten up. I'm gonna tell on me. I haven't been to the gym in just over a month. Just over a month. Schedule just been busy, working two jobs, all that stuff going on. I work with special needs adults, but I also drive trucks on the weekend. And sometimes those things overlap. Okay? So that's what things overlap. And so then what ends up happening is I find myself tired. Anymore. So I haven't been able to go to the gym. So, and that yesterday I got a chance to go to the gym, and today I did some workout a little bit as well. But I noticed that today my pectoral muscles were hurting. And it was because those muscles started tightening back up again because they ain't even being tight. I ain't even doing nothing but eating. And so then when you begin to exercise your faith, you begin to exercise your trust, you begin to exercise your discipline, those muscles tighten up. And the more you do it, the more weight you have to have onto it. Because you have to continue to challenge those muscles. You have to continue to challenge those ligaments. Thank you, Lord, I hear you talking. And sometimes for us, we get in a little shape, but that's good enough, and we keep everything at the same weight. And there's no challenge there. I just shared with one of my coworkers. We were sitting there, we were talking, and she began to share some things with me that she was dealing with. And I'm thankful that some of my coworkers trust my judgment and my wisdom, God has given us, and things of that nature. And so I began to share it with her. I said, sometimes we are concerned about how people treat us, but sometimes that's us hanging, my God, that's us dealing with low-level food. And one of my closest friends, she said to me, she said, Twan, you got to be careful that you don't end up dealing with low-hanging fruit. And I was offended. I was offended. Well, what do you mean? I'm striving to be better. I'm striving to be stronger. She said, yeah, but because you had to deal with hurt in relationship, sometimes when it comes to relationship, they will deal with low-hanging fruit. She said, so in this position where you find yourself as of right now, be careful that you don't start dealing with low-hanging fruit. And I began to see that thing like never before. Like, I mean, that thing began to open up. That thing began to open up about how you allow certain things and certain people to give certain things to you. And you don't want to press any issues. You don't want to make anybody feel bad. But so then you deal with what they give you. So in other words, you deal with a certain level of toleration because it's a low hanging fruit. And you won't challenge yourself. And when you won't challenge yourself, you are dealing with low hanging fruit. You want to get what comes to you easy. What presents the less challenge, you'll go back to old situations. You'll go back to old emotions and old circumstances because those things are a safe place for you. You know what they're going to cost. You know what the potential consequence is, and you're ready to deal with that because you know what happens if everything goes wrong. You know what happens if everything goes right. You don't have to worry. That means you're not living by faith. And so I'm still talking about what I'm talking about grabbing something and winning. Sometimes for you, you have to grab some discipline. You have to tell yourself, I will not do this anymore. I will not go here. I will not allow this to happen. I will not allow myself to get into the rut of normalcy, and I will not let anybody tell me that I don't have the right to go after change. Oh, man, I'm teaching good. I'm teaching real good to me. And so watch this. When you begin to become chiseled, they're not chiseling away from something that was added to you. They're chiseling away from something that was already there. And God is so divine. He's so precisional. He's making sure that there are things coming off you that you don't need anymore. Yeah, it helped you get where you are today, but it's not supposed to stay there. Yes, you know, when the statue is there, immediately it's a big block. It's a big block of clay, big block of stone, or whatever they call it. So then in order for the sculptor to make it what he has to do, he has to get that chisel and he has to get that file. He has to hammer into it. Because the things that did not come with that will easily fall off. He's busy chiseling at the things that came along with you. That generational curse, that bloodline curse, that bad attitude, that short temper, that weakness, that jelly back, that Jezebel in you, that Ahab in you, that inconsistency, that homemonger, that adulterer. He's chipping at that. Because it was in your bloodline, it was in your heritage, it was in your history, it was in your background. Somebody spoke something over your life. Somebody did something wrong when they dropped you as a baby. Are you listening to me? And God is chiseling at those things, but don't be afraid to let Him chisel. Sometimes we're concerned about being somebody else, and we're concerned about holding on to an identity. And your current identity is just a temporary face. It's a mask. Because God is ever changing you, and God's ever bringing you to the place where you become stronger. Thank you, Lord. You become wiser, and you become better. And we have a tendency to shun those things because we are constantly looking for levels of comfort. And I know I'm not going to get a lot of people on this when I'm talking about this because this is a heavy hitter. This is for those who are mature. These are for people who want to be better. This is for people who are not okay with the norm. I'm not okay with what I had yesterday. I'm not okay with what I had last week. I'm not okay with what I had last month. I have got to do better. I've got to have better. I've got to speak better. I've got to love better. I've got to respond better. I've got to care better. I've got to have more long-suffering. I've got to love on myself better. Well, that's a heavy one right there. because sometimes it's easy for us to do things on the outside. It's easy for us to do things concerning other people, but how well are you at loving yourself? Now, you don't just love yourself just because you get your hair done, your nails done, your pedicure on a regular basis, and you look sharp. When was the last time you encouraged yourself? My God. When was the last time you made sure you got some rest? When was the last time you went on a vacation? When was the last time you said, you know what, I'm going to take this day and I'm going to rest my mind, I'm going to rest my heart, I'm going to rest my emotions, I'm going to rest my body, and I'm not going to rip and run and move around, up and down, in and out, hub, because I'm taking care of me. You got to be careful. You got to be careful. You loving yourself is not at all about how you appear, but how you operate at the nucleus of who you are. Because it's easy to put on that facade. Oh, I'm doing fine. I'm hurting the town. I spoil me. With natural things, with frivolous things. But your heart is broken. Your mind is unregulated. Your emotions are out of whack. Your trust is damaged. When was the last time you took you out? How about that? When was the last time you made sure you had a good time? I mean, laugh from a good, healthy place. When was the last time you went and got a massage? When was the last time you went and got pampered? When was the last time you just didn't do nothing at all? When was the last time you just told somebody, you know what, I'm not stressing about that today, I'm going to relax? And you did it. And you actually did it. You turned your phone on, got off Facebook and Instagram, Twitter and TikTok and flip-flop and all of that to make sure that you had a peace of mind. When was the last time you just laid before the Lord and just prayed until God changed some things? That's because that's self-care too. I've got to make sure I hear from the Lord, not because of the pastor said, not because the prophet came in town, or not because somebody called me, but I heard, thank you, Lord. I heard the word of the Lord for myself. I study and I rightly divided the word and truth. When was the last time? When was the last time you prayed out of yourself? I'm telling you, grab something and win. Some stuff we use and don't work no more. Ooh, good God Almighty, I'm going to get in trouble right then. Some stuff we use and it ain't working no more. It ain't that it's lost its power. You just behind schedule. You using yesterday's weapon in today's fight, and God said no. My God, I'm talking good to myself. I'm going to say it again. You're using yesterday's weapons in today's battle. And you're going to lose tomorrow. Man, good God Almighty. My God. Can I say that again? That thing was heavy. You're using yesterday's tools to fight today's battles, and you're losing tomorrow. Somebody needs to holler, Lord, touch me afresh. Save me afresh. Feel me afresh. Love me afresh. Revive me afresh. Let the fresh one of the Holy Ghost rest, rule, and abide in my heart, my mind, my soul, and my spirit. Because when you're anointed, it matters what you do. When you're called, it matters what you do. When you're chosen, it matters what you do. When you're pregnant with purpose and doing the day, it matters what you do. It matters very much so what you do. You're not being held back because of what somebody did to you. I don't care what nobody says. Haters cannot stop you. Haters cannot stop you. Only person that can stop you is you. The enemy cannot stop you. And God's not going to try. Because it is his desire that the word manifests itself. That's what he's looking for. So the only person that can stop that is you. You if you disobey, you if you procrastinate, you if you're disobedient, you if you don't heed the word of the Lord, you if you allow others to talk you out of doing what God called you to do. That's the only problem with haters, is that you give them so much clout and so much responsibility and so much authority and so much access in your life that whenever they say something that's contrary to what you thought you should be doing, you fall right in line. Y'all gonna go. I'm gonna go. And you will see some. You up 1 minute and down the next. You gung-ho 1 minute, and you can't go to the next. 1 minute you heal, another one you don't know, another minute you don't know if you're going to make it. 1 minute you can jump over mountains, next week you can't get over the hill. But there's no consistency to your faith and your belief and your resolve or your fight. Some folk, not now, I'm going to dip off for a second. A lot of people do the comparison between LeBron James and Michael Jordan. Always that comparison there. Now, I got a major problem with this because LeBron will never, ever be a Michael Jordan. I don't care how many rings he wins. I don't care what accolades, what records he breaks. He will never be a Michael Jordan. Matter of fact, he won't even be a Kobe Bryant. Now, do I like LeBron? I do. I think LeBron is an amazing athlete. I think he takes well. I mean, he is... apropos and such a picturesque of how to take care of your body. He's been in the league 18 years. You can count on one or two hands how many times he's missed games because he takes care of himself. But my philosophy, my perspective, is that LeBron will never be a Michael Jordan because of his will to fight. LeBron James does not have a consistent will to fight. And so, therefore, there are times when he'll pass the ball when he should be shooting. There are times when he should take the game over, but he won't do it simply because he doesn't have that will to fight. He doesn't. He may pull a game winner off every now and then, but for the most part, his fight isn't consistent. And I'm going to tell you, your fight has to be consistent. A lot of times when we come out the pressure of the fight or when the pressure is not as hard as it was to do what you got to do, we fall back from the fight. We stop praying as hard as we did. We stop fasting as long as we did. We stop worshiping to the degree that we did because all of a sudden when this thing first happened, you was like, Lord, it's got to change. You got to change now. You got to be over with. And now all of a sudden the pressure you felt at that time is not as strong. So therefore, you let up in the fight. That's what Samson did many times before. In the middle of the fight, oh, he there. Philistines there, he ready to go. And then when the pressure of fighting was not there, he stopped following instructions. Man, I'm talking good. I'm talking good, y'all. I'm talking good. And many of us, we have lost the pressure of fighting, so therefore we stop obeying the rules. We stop obeying the rules. We stop pressing. We stop pushing. We stop crucifying our flesh daily. And therefore, because of that, we find ourselves in positions where we miss the timing of God and we miss the breakthrough of God simply because you are out of line. Oh, I got to go now. You got to be careful when your desire outweighs your discernment. Good God Almighty. Can I say that again, Dr. McCoy? You have to be careful when your desire outweighs your discernment. Well, you cannot see the enemy right in front of your face. You don't recognize the enemy is setting you up. When you don't recognize it, every time you open up your mouth, the enemy is using what you say against you. You've got to be careful. You've got to be careful. Because if your desire outweighs your discernment, that means you're blind. That thing is heavy. You got to be careful when your desire outweighs your discernment. God would have given you this level of responsibility if he didn't trust you. If he didn't trust you, he wouldn't have given you the challenge. God, I'm done. I told you I wasn't going to be long to me. Grab something and lean. Samson grabbed a hold of the two pillars. Pillars represent stability. They represent foundation. So he grabbed a hold of stability. When he grabbed the hold of stability, he said, Lord, avenge me. First of all, he told the Lord, remember me. I want to tell somebody tonight that's watching, that's listening to me, God has not forgotten you. I felt the Holy Ghost right now. Thank you, Lord. God has not forgotten you. Don't you dare open up your mouth and say again, don't nobody understand. God not only does he see and he knows, but he understands. Thank you, Lord. I'm the Lord, not changed now. I won't, the songwriter said, I won't forget, nor have I forgot. I'm telling you, God knows exactly what you're going through. This is the time for you to continue to be the testimony you've always been. Grab a hold of something stable. Stop putting your faith in man and your job and things that are frivolous. God's going to make you a walking commercial. He says, Lord, remember me. God knows who you are and God knows what you're going through. He said, Lord, avenge me of my eyes. Thank you, Lord, I hear you talking. Somebody, God's getting ready to bring vision back to your life. You've been lost. You've been out of the way. You're not sure where to go, not sure what to do, not sure how to make things happen. But just lift your hand, thank you, Lord, right there, and God is beginning to bring vision back to you. Thank you, Lord. God is bringing vision back to you. And where you were once lost, God's going to open up ways. And the fog is going to clear. The ways are going to be parted. And God's going to show you how to go, when to go, what to do, who to talk to, what to look up, what to research, what to do with, thanks the Lord, what to do with your paperwork. I hear the Lord say, what to do with your paperwork. God's going to show you what to do, specifically with the things you've written down. Thank you, Lord. I feel a smooth, calm, prophetic anointing to me. Listen, God's going to cause your vision to open back up. Thank you, Lord. I hate talking. For some of you, God's going to reveal some people to you. He's going to show you some things, some snakes on the plane. And listen, don't be angry. Hear me well. Don't be angry when God begins to reveal certain things through certain people. The Lord says to remain consistent and to remain calm and to shut up and let me fight the battle. Now, y'all, that's how I heard it. And you're saying God wouldn't tell you shut up, but that's exactly how I hit it. Shut up and let me. Shut up and let me fight. Oh, my God. My. Somebody would type that in for me. Shut up and let him fight. My God to them. Bless the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. So God is saying, when I begin to reveal these things and these people to you and these motives and these directives and these intentions and these alternative motives, don't be angry. Don't lash out. Don't try to bust them out. Don't try to expose them. Just simply say, Lord, I thank you, Lord. Tell them, Lord, I thank you for allowing me to see this. My God, allowing me to see this and allowing me to become better for it. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. God's restoring your vision tonight. Hallelujah. I said again, God's restoring your vision tonight. Thank you, Lord. God's restoring your vision. God's going to also show you, thank you, Lord, some things to cut off of you, some things to show you do. And God's going to reveal some things. Not just going to be just for people. God's going to cause you to see some things in you that you did not see. Why do I need to see that, prophet? Because God's going to show you how to work on those things. Prophet, why would God tell me to work on those things and not just simply take them out of my life? Because he's building character. Thank you, Lord. Bless you, Jesus. Hallelujah. God says, I'm building character and I am building, my God, I am building a reputation. Thank you, Lord. Reputation. And God says, I'm going to build consistency and then build your name because I'm going to, in this, I'm going to show people how you are, how reliable you can be, how trustworthy you can be. And then God's going to say that discipline is going to cause doors to open. That discipline is going to cause people to pull on you and to need your gift in different areas, to use your wisdom in other areas, because you practice wisdom during this season. Hallelujah. That's the way the Lord concerning you. And hallelujah. Bless you, Jesus. Bless you, Jesus. Bless you. So then he asked the Lord to avenge mine eyes of my Philistines. And listen here, God, thank you, Lord. The enemy is not going to have the last say. They said in a few scriptures prior to that God had delivered their enemy into their hands. Understand this, the enemy thinks he's got you. Y'all, I'm getting ready to get up out of here. I got to go. I got ice cream to eat. The enemy thinks he's got you. But I'm telling you, if you remain consistent and grab a hold of those pillars, God's going to avenge everything that you had to lose in this season. My. Well, somebody would just type in, God's about to avenge my losses. Ooh, good God Almighty, help me, Holy Ghost. I'm going to say it again. I said, God's about to avenge my losses. Everything that I had to give up, every person that I had to lose, every situation that I had to die, the money, the car, the house, the home, the friendships, the level of comfort, hallelujah, even your level of comfort, God's going to avenge what you had to give up. My God, what you lost, what the enemy took from you. Hallelujah. I'm done, y'all. I'm done, y'all. So the Lord, the Bible says that Samson killed more in his death than he did while he was alive. The old folks used to sing a song that said, if I die now, I don't have to die no more. Listen here. Don't be afraid to crucify your flesh daily. Don't be afraid to die. And I'm not talking about a physical death. I'm talking about die to you, die to your emotions, die to your desires, die to your intellect, die to what you think is your wisdom, and you die to everything that could possibly keep you from being in the divine will of God concerning your life in this season. And when you do that, hallelujah, God will put something in your hand like Moses. He'll say, Moses, what's in your hand? Hallelujah. And God will put something in your hand to grab hold and win. And then you'll drown every Egyptian in your life, and the Egyptians you see today, you'll see no more forever. Listen, I'm done. I just came by to tell somebody, grab something and win. I'm Prophet Thomas. Remember, the sky's not your limit. It's too low.
Amen. 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 I hope you all got a hold of that from the beginning, where the man of God told us we were pregnant with purpose. Start exercising our faith. Don't let your haters have control over your life. Stop giving them that much power. Keep the same pressure on at the end of the fight that you had at the beginning of the fight. I thank God for the man of God on tonight. I thank God for him telling us to grab a hold to something stable. God said to make you a walking testimony, a walking commercial. He's been telling us that for a while. And don't be scared to spiritually die, because you have allowed God to bring back your vision. Let go of who and what you need to let go of, and let God do what only God can do concerning your life. God has the power. Man of God, you have blessed me on tonight. I thank you for the word. I thank you for, like you say, you is teaching. I thank you for the word. I thank you for the lesson on tonight. I'm going to ask anybody that has and wants the opportunity to bless the man of God on tonight to just go right ahead and speak to his life. The lines are open. Have your way with blessing the man of God on tonight. Okay, well, I guess everyone had to say what they needed to say on Facebook. I just want to say again, man of God, I thank you for blessing us on tonight. Do you have any information you would like to share with us on tonight to give us a head up of what you have coming up in the near future?
All righty. Well, thank you so much for that. I personally don't have anything coming up just as of yet. Of course, some things are in the discussion. But this upcoming Sunday, we will be celebrating the woman of God, Apostle Sandra Thomas, this Sunday at 2:30. The flyer is on my page. It's on my page. I'm actually pulling it up right now. I've got so many flyers I've been trying to hold on to recently because I want, that's how I remember where I'm supposed to be, when I'm supposed to be there. And I'm excited about that. Give me 1 second while I pull that up. All right. There we go. So it's going to be a new Mount Zion Missionary Baptist Church, and so we'll be honoring the legacy of Apostle Sandra Irene Thomas. And I want everybody that's out there in the sound of my voice, if you can make it there, if you can be there, if you know somebody in the neighborhood that they need to be there, then let them know too. Face masks are mandatory, so we're looking to, just to have a great time in the Lord. Gina Thurston will be there, national recording artist Gina Thurston. And so if you've never heard this woman of God, she is something serious. I mean, she is something serious. Amen. And then Bishop Timothy Pleasant and his choir will be there. We were just in a service just recently, and they brought the house down. And so I'm excited about that. Listen, we're going to have some good singing, some good shouting, some good worship. We're just going to have a high time in the Lord. And everybody that can make it out there, make it out there. That flyer is on my page. It is on Pastor Troy Thomas's page as well. So by all means, get up. That we're looking to see you this Sunday, February 28th at 2:30 p.m. All right, that's all I get.
Oh, all righty. Well, I'll see if I can make it. I just want to say I thank everybody again for tuning in on tonight. I would like for you all to know we're here. This Sunday coming up will be our fourth Sunday. And hold on, please. Sorry, I had to clear up some background noise. Every fourth Sunday of the month, we celebrate with Apostle Elect Cecilia Kaiser, which was also on the first, second, and third, and fifth Sunday of the month at 9:30 a.m. Central Standard Time, 10:30 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. This Monday coming up will be the first Monday of the month of March. Our speaker will be Dr. Serena Wright at 8 p.m. Central Standard Time, 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. This is the first Friday of the month. We'll be coming up next week also. And I will be your speaker, Minister Sylvia Kaiser, at 9 p.m. Central Standard Time, 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. So if you are listening and you want to be further and continually blessed by this ministry, please tune in on those following days to hear the different men and women of God speak. Don't forget our foundation of Scripture. It's Matthew 6:33. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. I want you all to keep the Mack family, the Thomas family, and the Seabury family in your prayers, for we have lost a family member on today, and we just want you all to keep us in your prayers. Trust God. Trust God with it all. Being said, I'm going to ask the pastor to pray us out, and we will see you on our following service this Sunday morning. Prophet, could you please pray us out?
by all means. Father, we just give you praise and we give you honor, oh God, for what our eyes have seen, what our ears have heard, and what our spirits have received. Father, it's our prayer to be in your divine word, not just your permissive will. So let these words echo in our hearts, our minds, our souls, our spirits, that we glorify you, that we be instruments of praise and instruments that you use to bring forth your word into this earth. And we give you praise and we give you honor for that. Father, forgive us of any sin or commission, a thought, intention that would displease you. And we give you all the honor and the glory shall be thine. Father, as the woman of God said, touch the Mac family, touch Paul, touch Sandy, touch Aunt Deborah, touch Elder Mac, Father, touch Rakia, touch Vaughn, God, touch Tremaine, touch all of the nieces and nephews, Father, touch AJ, oh God, touch Pooh, Father, in the name of Jesus, Father, just touch that entire family, every single last person, God. We know that you are God, and we know that you don't make mistakes. And Father, I pray for the peace that surpasses all understanding. Father, I pray for trust, God, Father, that they will trust you in all of this, and that their yes will waver. We give you praise, we give you honor, we give you glory. In the name of Jesus, Father, touch the Sanchez family, oh God, and the loss of their grandfather. In the name of Jesus, Father, I just give you praise, I give you honor, and I give you glory. Father, I pray for Mr. Burford, oh Father, who's laying up in the hospital with multiple blood clots, Father, in his leg. Father, I pray that you touch his body from the crown of his head to the soles of his feet, Father. I pray that you look on Sister Hardman, oh God, and dealing with what the diagnosis of the doctor. Father, I thank you in advance for that. In the mighty name of Jesus, Father, we praise you because you're still God. You're still Elohim. You're still El-Yor. You're still El Shaddai. You're still Elohim. And we give you praise and honor for that, Father. In the name of Jesus, Satan, the Lord rebuke you, and the blood of Jesus comes against you right now. We curse every assignment, every intention, every contract of the enemy concerning the people of God. In Jesus' name we pray. Father, you are worthy. You are wonderful. You are awesome. You are faithful. And we give you praise. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Yes. Amen. Good night, everyone.